The scripture for today is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I'm reading from the New International Version. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will be not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. The word of God for the people of God. Blessed be the Lord.
So this is Transfiguration Sunday, which is not necessarily one of the better known celebrations, but it is always the last Sunday of Lent. We have the last Sunday before Lent, excuse me. We have a condensed Epiphany season. We're only early in February, and we're already ending that season of Epiphany, or ordinary time, that comes between the Christmas baptism Epiphany events and the beginning of Lent. This year, it feels like it's all one season that started at Thanksgiving and will continue until Easter. I'm calling it Ad-Lent. But this is where we are. And so on this last Sunday, which is also the fifth or sixth, I think, Sunday after the Epiphany, we jump ahead in the lectionary. We jump ahead to the story of the Transfiguration, which you will notice was not what was just read for you, and that's on purpose. What happens in the Transfiguration is that Jesus goes up the mountain. He takes his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they go up, and he is transfigured before them. And as part of that transfiguration, the three disciples see two other people with Jesus. One of them is Moses, and one of them is Elijah. And so our Old Testament scripture could have been about Moses, but instead it's about Elijah. And in fact, this morning I read from Ecclesiasticus, not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus, in the Apocrypha, about Elijah and how blessed are they that saw Elijah and slept in love, and we shall surely live. So Jesus goes up, and Moses and Elijah also have their going up stories. Moses, of course, went up onto the mountain as Jesus is going up the Mount of Transfiguration. And Elijah, this is the story that we just heard. Elijah is near the end of his life. He's had a long career as a prophet. He's done a lot of amazing things. He's probably the next greatest prophet to Moses himself. And he knows that the end is near. And he has his disciple, his apprentice, Elisha, who goes on to also have a great career as a prophet, but they're traveling together. And before this particular moment, Elisha is sticking really close to Elijah. And Elijah keeps saying, "I'm going to be taken away any minute, you know, just stay here." And Elisha says, "No, I'm staying with you. I am not going to leave your side." And finally, Elijah says, "Okay, what is it you want me to do for you?" And Elisha is bold. He says, I want your spirit, I want a double share of it. And Elijah says, "You have asked a hard thing. But pay attention, keep your eyes open. If you see me when I am taken from you, if you see me being taken, ascended, he didn't say that, but that's what happened, you will receive what you have asked. And so Elisha keeps his eye on Elijah, and what he sees is a flaming chariot, just like we have in the picture on the screen, or had on the picture on the screen, flaming chariot and horsemen, the heavenly stagecoach comes and picks him up and takes him out of sight. And Elisha watches as long as he can see him. So he does see him taken up from him. And he recognizes what has happened. So there's a couple things about this. One is nobody ever saw the death and burial place of Moses. And same thing with Elijah. And there were a couple others as well. But it's significant that these two were the ones who appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the key for Elijah was that he had to be seen as he was taken up. And his apprentice, his disciple, his friend, was with him the whole time. They were walking together. They continued to walk together. And Jesus is walking up the mountain with his friends and disciples, the three closest ones, including Peter, the one who was to hold the keys of the kingdom. So these guys are significant, have significant roles. And they too were walking together because Jesus led them up the high mountain. And after they got there, his clothes became dazzling white. He had invited Peter, James, and John into the phone booth with him. Look, this is how it's done. I'm just changing clothes. I'm still me, but I'm changing my clothes. I look different, but I'm still the same person. You're just seeing me in a way that you've never seen me before. And they knew that because here he was wearing these bright, shining clothes. They didn't have Tide and washing machines in those days, but his clothes were whiter than they could be washed. And there he is with Moses and Elijah, who somehow they recognized because they had their senses sharpened by the presence of Jesus. And they recognized that this was Moses and Elijah, and this is pretty exciting. And of course, Peter, as always, got excited and said, "Here, let's do something." And the voice came from heaven and said two things that are really important. One of them was, "This is my beloved son." Same words as at the baptism. "This is my beloved son. This is the one." This is a revelation of Jesus' true identity, not his secret identity, but his true identity. And the other thing that the voice said was, "Listen to him." He could have said, the voice could have said, "Peter, just shut up and listen. Listen to him." So we have Elijah telling Elisha to look and see. We have the voice from heaven telling Peter, James, and John to look and to listen and to hear. Sometimes you'll hear the word transformation used for this Sunday. He wasn't transformed. Jesus was not transformed. He was not changed into anything that he already wasn't. He was transfigured. He looked different. His appearance changed. He was revealed as true who he truly was, companion of Elijah and Moses, who had been gone for centuries, and wearing shining clothes like a heavenly being, which of course he was. They didn't know that before. They thought that he was pretty cool and he had a hotline to God and he was a great teacher and he did miracles. They got a new level of understanding when they saw him as he truly was. Jesus didn't need a transformation. He didn't need to change. He was already, is already everything that God is. He did need to have his identity revealed to those who were to follow him. This was another epiphany event. This is why this is the last Sunday of the Epiphany season. There's the epiphany of the arrival of the kings at the stable. There's the epiphany of Jesus being baptized and the voice coming from heaven. There's the epiphany of Jesus' first miracle of turning water into wine, which we didn't read this year because we're not in John. All these are epiphany events. They're revelations. They're seeing Jesus as he truly is. And the point of this is for our transformation. Jesus doesn't need to be transformed, but we do. Peter, James, and John did. Elisha did. If we pay attention, we can be changed. We can be transformed. Paul says in Romans, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when we pay attention, when we look and we listen and we see and we hear, our minds are changed. We are renewed. And the first letter of John says, we shall be like him. We will be changed, for we will see him as he really is. The disciples saw him for that brief time on the top of the mountain as he really is. And that changed them. And that's the point of the transfiguration. Jesus didn't change, but his appearance changed so that we will be changed. That's the power of God. Amen.